probably most people here today either have a Facebook account, an Instagram account, or both. How many people have a Facebook or an Instagram or both? Anybody? Okay. Probably most people. And for those of you that didn't raise your hand, you're just happy. You're just happier. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So I started, since we're in this wrestling series, I started thinking about which wrestler has the most followers on Instagram, which took my mind to, well, who's got the most followers on Instagram, period. And I was shocked. If you would have given me 10 guesses as to who had the most followers on Instagram, I would have never guessed it. But I did meet one person this week that actually guessed it the first time, and they're not my friend anymore because they ruined my illustration. But the person that has the most followers on Instagram is not a person, it's actually Instagram. Which I think that's kind of cheating if you're Instagram, but they got 691 million followers. And so I was like, okay, well, who's the person, like the human being in the world that's got the most Instagram followers? And once again, I would have never guessed this. And I've heard of this person, but I don't pay a lot of attention. It's Cristiano Ronaldo. And for those of you that don't know, he plays soccer. In other parts of the world, they call it football. But here in America, we call football football because football is football. And we're undefeated in two world wars, so we get to call it football, okay? So, but he's got a lot of followers. And then I was like, well, which wrestler has the most followers? And surprisingly, there was a wrestler in the top 10 of Instagram followers in the world. Anybody want to guess who it was? Rock. Yes, The Rock had 394 million followers. And I was surprised to see that The Rock follows me. He doesn't, but that would have been kind of cool if he did. He gives his workout advice and everything. So with this right here, it started my mind thinking about following people on Facebook and following people on Instagram. Now, if we're all honest, let's just be honest today. We don't really follow anybody. We scroll through their lives. Because if you follow more than 50 people, you don't have time to follow that many people. And so we kind of scroll, right? We scroll. If there's a post, we'll glance, we'll think about it. Every once in a while, something catches our attention and we'll kind of pay attention to it. But if we're all honest, and I need us all to just kind of lean in for a second and be honest, we don't follow, we scroll. Amen? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's great, because if we spent all of our time looking at people online, we never would get to live a life. The danger is when we scroll through Christianity and we scroll through our walk with Jesus, and Sunday's one of those things where we're scrolling, and Sunday we stop and pay attention. But then Monday through Saturday, we just kind of scroll through walking with Jesus and we don't really follow. And it's an easy thing to do. It's an easy thing to lose sight of Jesus. And there are people in this room, I've had people tell me this, I wish we could have some sort of church every day because I feel like I get my butt kicked Monday through Saturday and I have to come to church to kind of get my energy back. And I know you felt like that. I felt like that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take today and I'm going to teach you some things that you can do if you want to, listen, if you want to follow Jesus. Because that was his original invitation. Jesus is hanging out in a fishing village on the Sea of Galilee called Capernaum. And there's a guy from Capernaum named Peter. He was born in a small town, lived in a small town, probably died in a small town. There we go. So there's Peter, and Jesus is walking along the shore, and he's getting ready to make his number one draft pick, his five-star recruit. And nobody in the town of Capernaum, if they said Jesus is going to pick somebody, nobody would have picked Peter because Peter had a temper problem. and Peter cussed. And Peter had a heart. Peter sometimes would say one thing and do another. I don't know if you know anybody that does that. The guy that I shaved with in the mirror this morning, he does that a lot. But Peter was not the guy that anybody would have thought that Jesus would have picked. But Jesus always picks the underdog. And so this is what Matthew tells us. And Matthew tells us this because Matthew was actually there. He tells his own story in a few chapters later. But Matthew said this: one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew. Now, side note, when we get to heaven, everybody wants to meet Peter, but I'm like, what about Andrew? Like, who are you? Andrew. Who? Peter's brother. Oh, yeah, you're that guy. So he was Peter's brother, but he was at least in the story. And they were throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. The fact that they fished for a living means at some point they were in the Jewish schooling system learning the Old Testament, and they were told, hey, at some point you can't hack it in the religious system. You need to go do what your fathers did. So they'd been kicked out of pretty much religious school. You ever been kicked out of any? Okay, we'll just keep going. Jesus called out to them, come, and let's say these two words on three. One, two, three, follow me. That's it. That's mind-blowing. And then he said this, and I will, now this is just a side note. We'll talk about this a little bit more another time. He said, if you follow me, I will show you how to fish for people. In other words, one of the trademarks of a follower of Jesus is we want other people to follow Jesus. And if we don't want other people to follow Jesus, we're probably not following Jesus. You can't make that judgment. Of course I can. That's what Jesus said. If you follow me, I'll teach you how to what? Fish for people. Not teach you how to learn Bible verses so you can throw them at people. All right. Got to do it. Got to. Y'all know you love it. Now think about this for a second. What if Jesus would have been into religion rather than relationship? He would have walked up to Peter and said, Peter, listen, man, I got this thing I'm trying to do. It's going to be pretty spectacular, and I would love for you to be on my team, but man, you cuss a lot, and you got a bad temper, and sometimes you say things you don't mean. So I'm gonna give you like 30 to 45 days to kind of work on yourself, and I'm gonna come back, and if you're better, you can follow me. That's how religion would have approached that. And Peter would have never followed Jesus. Or what if Jesus would have said, hey, Peter, listen, since we're here by a lake and you're fishing, I want you to be on my team, but why don't you walk on water? And if you can walk on water, you can follow me. And Peter would have probably looked at Jesus and said, oh my God, you are a hippie smoking weed. Like you're high right now. Like, do you think in that moment that Peter would have ever imagined he could have walked on water? No. Or what if Jesus would have said, hey, Peter, do a miracle. Excuse me? Yeah, just do a miracle. Peter would have looked at Jesus and said, you're insane. There's no way somebody like me could ever perform a miracle. But if you've read the Bible, you know. Peter did do miracles, and Peter did walk on water, and Peter did get his temper problem eventually under control. Why? Because this man named Jesus came up to him in the middle of the day and said, I want you to follow me. I don't want you to change anything. I don't want you to stop doing anything. All I want you to do is follow me, because Jesus knew about Peter what he knows about us. If we follow him, we will change. We can't stay the same. It's impossible to stay the same when we're following Jesus. And Peter had no idea what hung in the balance that day. He had no idea that one day cathedrals would be named after him, and people would name their children after him, and that cities would be named. He had no idea. He just kind of looked at Andrew, and Andrew looked at him. They shrugged their shoulders and were like, well, might as well. And they left their nets at once and did what? And followed him. Not worked real hard to become good people. Because as we're going to see, especially in 2 weeks, Peter still messed up even the night Jesus was crucified. But he just kept following. So how do we today, how do we follow Jesus? How do we stay in step with Jesus? Because honestly, Peter had like physical Jesus, on, like Jesus, like God in the flesh with him. But how can we do that today? How can we follow Jesus? So we're gonna go through 8 things, and listen. You don't have to do these things to get God to love you. God's love is not based on our work. God's love is based on the work that Jesus did on the cross. The love is established. Our sins are paid for. We don't do these things to become better people. We do these things because we want to follow Jesus. And if you want to follow Jesus, I'm gonna give you some things to do. These are things that I put into practice. I know many of you put these into practice, and they will help us follow Jesus. Are you ready for point one? Say yes.
Yes.
Good, wow. Not 15. I had some energy drink with that coffee this morning, didn't we? Number one, read your Bible. I'm gonna make a suggestion here, and please, 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 because some of y'all are like, you sound like such an old man. I'm 54, I am, okay? I would recommend not reading your Bible on your phone. Get a paper Bible, put your phone down, put it on silent, because people will, listen, nobody will text you all day. You pick up that Bible and your phone will blow up. Somebody's sending you stupid cat videos and stuff like that, which is insane. Read your Bible. Now, I'm 54, so if you're anywhere in the ballpark of my age, let's say 15 to 20 years older or 15 to 20 years younger, the number one excuse for people not reading their Bible for years was, I don't understand. And that's a legitimate excuse. You know why? Because if you're around my age, we grew up with the King James Version. And nobody understood the King James Version. Nobody. The King James Version was translated in 1611, over 400 years ago. And we don't speaketh that way. There's one story where Jesus told somebody, come hither. I have never said that to anybody. Hey, come hither. That's weird. You tell your kids that this afternoon, they're gonna run away. So I grew up in the King James. Now, there are, oh God. The other night I was watching, God, I can't even believe I'm gonna tell this story. I was watching TikTok, and I know I should not, I know I shouldn't do this, but every once in a while there's some really cringe things that come on TikTok as far as preachers, and there was this dude, and I knew I shouldn't watch it. I knew it was gonna destroy my soul a little bit, but I call it Christian porn. You just can't look away. So I'm watching this guy, and he's preaching, and he's like, we aren't sending our kids to that youth camp this summer because they got a speaker that's not gonna use the King James Bible. And everybody in the church was like, hey, man. I'm like, that, seriously? He was serious. And I think back to when I was a kid at Easley Christian School in the third grade, how confusing the Bible was for me. Because we were told, don't miss this, you got to take every word in the Bible literally. When I was, you know, I'm third grade. I'm like, okay, yeah. And then one day in Miss Rice's class in the third grade, we're going through the Ten Commandments. And I got in trouble. Why? I would love to show you. This is going to be so uncomfortable for some people. I can't wait. Ten Commandments are pretty basic. We're going to pick them up in the middle where it's like, thou shalt not kill. Okay, well, got that one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, that makes sense. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, got that one. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, when that happened, my hand went up. Miss Rice was like, yes, Perry. I said, what is bear false witness? That means lie. And in my mind, I'm like, why didn't he just say lie? But once again, it's King James. And this is the verse that got me in trouble. I never will forget it. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass. Miss Rice, she was doing her best to ignore me. Miss Rice, Miss Rice, Miss Rice. What, Perry? What does that mean? It means donkey. I said, but it doesn't say donkey. It says ass. So I got to go to the office. I got a paddling for saying a word that was in the Bible. I'm just saying, King, if you're around my age, we didn't understand the King James. I get it. But in 1990, I had a friend of mine give me a Bible. And when he handed it to me, I said, I already got one. And he said, you don't have one like this. He said, this is a New International Version. And I didn't know there was a New International Version. I just thought there was only one version, the King James Version. He said, no. He said, this is a more modern translation. And he gave it to me, peeled the cellophane off. He wrote my name in it. And I said, okay, I'm going to take it home and start reading in the book of Genesis. He said, I don't think I'd do that. He said, if I were you, I'd start reading in the book of John. I said, the New Testament? And he said, yeah. So I went home that night. My dad and I were living in a trailer we paid $40 a week for. I never will forget just walking back in my bedroom, sitting down, opening up the Bible. I started reading John 1, and an hour later, I'm still reading this Bible. I've never read anything like it. It was blowing my mind. It was almost like living and active. And you know what? Since that day, I've missed very few days in my life reading the Bible. And you know what I noticed after a period of reading the Bible? You know what I noticed? My thoughts started changing, and my mind started changing, and my life started changing because of the power that's in God's Word. Not when we just read it, but we apply it. The Bible's like paint. It does us no good until you apply it to something. And so what Paul said in Romans 12:2, he said, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Watch this. But let God transform you into a new person. Everybody's wanting something new. Everybody's wanting a new car, new house, new this, new face, new. We'll just leave it there. Everybody wants something new. But what about a new mind? God can transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. How does he do that? Through us reading the Word of God. Now, I can make you two promises if you will commit yourself. Because, let me pause. I tried reading the Bible, it didn't work. How many days? Two. Okay, well, you can't diet for 2 days. You can't work out for 2 days. It's going to take some time. Listen, I'm just getting there every day, even if it's just for a verse or two. And I promise you it'll do two things. Letter A, less stress. How many people could use less stress in your life, right? I promise, because here's the deal. You know why we've got so much stress? Because this is what I know about you without even having to talk to you. You got problems. Am I right? There's nobody in here going, not me. Like, you got problems. I know you got problems. You know why you're so stressed? It's not just because your problems. Because of this device, we get to know everybody's problems. We get to know the world's problems. Somebody was freaking out about a month ago. I said, I got to talk to you. I said, about what? They said, tariffs. So what about it? What do you think about Trump's tariffs? I said, I don't think about tariffs because number one, I don't understand them. Number two, I don't have time to think about tariffs. Our dog just pooped in the house, okay? I'm trying to get this cleaned up. My God. What if we spent, this is just a recommendation, okay? 10 minutes less scrolling through somebody else's problems, 10 minutes less looking at all the world's problems on this device, and 10 more minutes in the Word of God. I promise you it will bring less stress because it will change our minds about things. And here's what's crazy. You'll read stuff and remember it, but don't even know that you remember it until 2 or 3 weeks later and something happened and that verse will pop in your mind. That's called the Holy Spirit of God bringing the Word of God to your mind because he wants you to act a certain way. It's so beautiful when God does that. Now this next part, there's some people that aren't gonna like this, but it's true. Less stress and more success. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. There was one person going, yes, I would like to be successful. Somebody told me one time, I feel like your church is going the route of Joel Osteen. And I'm like, huh? Because I'm not bringing back the mullet, but Joel rocks the mullet pretty good, right? I said, what do you mean? They're like, well, I kind of feel like you're the health and wealth gospel. And I always stop people there and go, I'll take that. Because the opposite is the sick and broke gospel. And I'm not about the sick and broke gospel because I don't serve a sick and broke Jesus, okay? I'm not talking about if you, listen. I'm just telling you, if we take God's word and we put it into practice, we will experience success in our life. We'll experience success as a spouse. We'll experience success at work. We'll experience success at school. If we want to be successful in our lives, nobody has ever told me I completely blew up my life when I started submitting my life to God's word. And right before Joshua is getting ready to invade the land of Canaan, God tells him this. God tells Joshua this. And God's telling Joshua this just about the first 5 books of the Bible. But it stands for the whole thing. Watch what he tells Joshua. He says, study this book of instruction continually. How often? Continually. Meditate just means think about. It doesn't mean go out and like get in the lotus position. That doesn't mean that. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. See, God doesn't want us just to succeed in our spiritual life. He wants us to be successful in every part of our life. But that takes us devoting some time to getting in to his word. Which leads to number 2. Pray. Some of y'all are like, this is Bible class 101. Well, don't we all need a 101 every once in a while? Pray. Now, let me get some water. There are several things that I just can't do. I can't. For example, I can't water ski. I can't. Let me pause real quick. This always happens. I'm glad you're here today, sir. I'm super thankful that you have a really nice boat, and I'm super thankful that you have never failed in helping someone to get up. I would be your failure. I'm not interested in going to your house or water skiing because every time I've tried, I nearly died or I lost my shorts. And I'm not interested. I can't. I can't snow ski. It's because you've never been with me. Well, I don't want to go with you. Actually, I will. I'll go with you and sit in the lodge while you ski and I'll get a massage. Like, I'm good, but like, I can't snow ski. And I used to tell myself, I can't pray. And there's a lot of people in this room, you think, well, I can't pray. And you know the reason why you can't pray is because you've been around some people. Like, I was told, go into a room after you read your Bible and pray for 30 minutes. Okay, now some people, that's not a problem. But for me, man, I get in that room every time. God, thank you today for the day, and for the tree and the squirrel. Squirrel and a tree. Squirrel and a tree looking down on me. Squirrel and a tree, Pastor P, squirrel and a tree, yo. I wrote a whole song, you don't wanna hear about it, but I'm just saying, I've got ADD, ADHD, ABC, CDEFG. I mean, I got all the, I can't do that. And you would hear, have you ever been to a church? We had, oh my gosh. I worked at the church for years and we had a guy named Hugh. He was deacon of the week once every 7 weeks. And Hugh was a great man, but he had that thing. What do they call it when you sit down and you can't stay awake, you just go to sleep?
Narcolepsy.
Narcolepsy, yeah. But he was in the choir, so that was a problem. So every week, Hugh be back there. But when he was deacon of the week and it was his time to pray, I promise you, when you started praying, you could leave the church, go get your tires rotated, your oil changed, get a facelift, come back, and you would still be praying. I mean, he was having his quiet time for the year, and I can't pray like that. Or have you ever been in a room when somebody comes in and they pray and you just like, oh my God, they just start praying and you get chills? I get criticized for my prayers because I was at a wedding one time. They said, will you pray for the meal? I said, I would love to pray for the meal. I said, what do you want me to do? Just give thanks for it. I said, okay. Everybody got there. Everybody got in the room. Everybody got fine. There's like 150 people. They said, we are asking Reverend Noble to come and pray. I was like, oh my God, I'm Reverend Noble. So I stepped up and I said, all right, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the food. Amen. People got pissed. That was irreverent. I said, you said the same thank you for the food. I said, thank you for the food. What do you want me to do? I'm a freaking quiet time, start confessing. I promise y'all, y'all did not want that. Because it's, and then I started reading some stuff that Jesus said about prayer. And if anybody knows about prayer, it's Jesus. And he said this. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. You ever, dear God, I want you to, and I'm thinking, sir, God did not go deaf. You don't have to yell at God. I tell you the truth, this is all the reward they will ever get. And then he went on to say this, and this, when I finally discovered this, I was like, oh, I actually can pray. Because Jesus said, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. You ever been in a prayer group where everybody's holding hands? If you don't want to pray, you just squeeze the person, to like squeeze. And everybody prays the same exact thing. The last time I was in one, I got kicked out because I literally, after the third, I stopped and said, hey guys, I know we're praying right now. We've just all prayed for the same exact thing. So if all 12 of us are gonna do it, can we just agree on that and go home? So I got kicked out. So I'm just saying, it don't take a lot. He said, don't babble on it. He said, they think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. He said, don't be like them, watch this. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. That's a good father, right? So what I've learned to do, for those of you that feel like you can't sit in a room and pray long, I haven't done that in 25, 30 years. I pray one sentence prayers all day long. Driving down the road, if I'm on my way to have lunch with somebody, I'll pray for that person. God bless our time today and help us. And then years ago, somebody taught me how to pray God's word. And if you've been getting our text devotional, you know this next phrase. When we pray God's word, we pray God's will. And so let me show you how this works. You pick a Bible verse and you just pray through that verse. Let me show you how this works. And I'm gonna challenge everybody here, everybody in Columbia, everybody watching online to put this into practice. You don't have to say it out loud. Just pray God's word over the next minute. Let's go back to Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. So that would be literally pausing and praying, God, help me to focus on your word more than the world. Next part, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Jesus, let me see how you see and think like you think so I can feel like you feel. Next part of the prayer, then you will learn to know God's will for you. God, I want what you want for my life, more than I want what I want for my life. Here's why. Because I know your will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Number three, make church a priority. Some of you are like, well, I'm here. You are. You are. And I'm so glad. But like, not an option, priority. This next illustration could get crazy, but just stay with me for a second. You ever just wanted to slap somebody? I'm not talking about push or shove. I'm talking about open-handed across the face, can hear it in the next room, slap somebody. Or backhand, either one. You ever just wanted to backhand somebody? Yeah, amen. I got some people paying attention now. So, true story. My wife, Shannon, she's hot. You don't have to think so. In fact, I hope you don't, but I do. I think she's hot. And anytime we go out and she gets a little dressed up, there's always a guy that'll look at her and check her out, and I don't think anything about that. I just smile at them. Literally, if they look at her, they look at me, I go, she going home with me, dawg. But we walked in this one restaurant not too long ago, and we had to walk through the bar area to get to the restaurant. And as we're walking, I'm a few steps behind her, and there's a dude at the bar, and he checked her out, which wasn't a problem at first, but he kept staring. And then he did one of those slow looks, down and up, and then he smirked. And every cell in my body wanted to grab this guy. And you've all seen it, the scene in the movie where they just run the guy down the bar. It was so perfect. I could have done, and the Holy Spirit said, nope. And I checked in, are you sure? Because this will be such a great sermon illustration. I mean, this is, and so I didn't. What did happen though, what did happen, true story, is I stepped into his line of sight, and he looked at me and he went, and I went. He got up and left. I don't know where he went. All I'm saying is, if you're a husband, and some, because for me, it wasn't that he checked her out. It was that he disrespected her. And you can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want, especially about me. But if you disrespect my wife, we gonna have problems. We gonna have an issue. You just don't. Right, husbands? Good. Y'all did good. I set y'all up for the win right there, and y'all took it. Because last time I did set y'all up, y'all didn't take it. So y'all have learned. I'm so proud of y'all. Y'all came so far in your journey with Jesus. Now, the reason I say this is because Jesus made a couple statements about the church in the Bible. And Jesus said this. The first thing he said about the church, we talked about this just a few weeks ago. He said, I will build my church. Now notice there's two personal pronouns in here. There's the I and there's the my. So, not a trick question. Who does the church belong to ultimately? Jesus, right. Now, he takes it a step further in Ephesians 5, verse 25, where he says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. So not only is the church belong to Jesus, but the church is the bride of Jesus. And husbands, if we won't let anyone disrespect our bride, how do you think Jesus feels about people that diss on his? Amen. Well, Pastor P, I got church hurt. No, you've got people hurt. Listen, there are crazy people in church. There are crazy people in this church. They don't know who they are, though, and which that's okay, because nobody just went, that's me, I'm crazy. I had an idea one time in staff meeting. It got shot down. I said, we should just have somebody, if you're brand new, second chance, you come over here to the side, and we'll just slap you and be like, there's your church hurt, get over it. And we just kind of get that behind us right when and we had too many people that wanted to be on that team, so we shut that down real quick. I'm just saying, you're here, so you know. Something happens when we get together in this place. I've had so many people tell me, I haven't been to church in years, but when we got here, as soon as the music started, I don't know what it was, but I just started crying, or I just felt emotional, and we see people in this room get saved, we see people give their lives to Christ, we see people get baptized, and I don't know about you, but that never gets old. I never imagined we would see some of the things that we're getting to see, and we're not even 7 years into this thing. Which is why I'm praying things like Acts chapter 4, verse 31 over our church, where the Bible says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. I'm praying for God to shake this house, and I'm praying for God to shake every one of us. And he's doing it, which leads to number four, serve. Some of y'all are like, dang it. He got to it. I was hoping he was going to do it next week. I was going. So I talked about Shannon last. Let me tell you what gets on my nerves about Shannon. I got to be careful that she'll be in the 5 o'clock service. So I'm a little bit more free right now because she's back in the kids' area. But it gets on my last freaking nerves. She won't take out the trash. No, I'm serious. It's a problem. The other morning I walked in to the kitchen. I'm trying to wake up. I open the trash can and stuff just starts falling out. Like just coffee things and lemons and our dog and like things, stuff was just. She broke our trash can one time trying to push it down like with her foot. She broke it. So it's early in the morning, I'm just not in a good mood. So I start, you ever just complain to God about your spouse? Don't say amen, just look straight ahead. And this really did happen. I was like, come on, God. She don't take out the trash. I kind of felt the Lord say, yeah, you're right, she don't. I was like, thank you. Thank you so much. You and all your power, wake her up in bed right now and tell her. And then God said, Let me just ask you a couple questions before we talk about that anymore. Who cleans the house 3 times a week? Who folds your clothes for you every day, baby boy? Oh, we in a name calling now. He said, I'm not done. Who washes the dishes? I said, God, that's not fair, because you know I can't get the dishwasher right. He said, you're right, you can't. So he just kind of kept showing me, who cleans the kitchen? Who makes sure the refrigerator? Who makes sure? Out of all these things that she did, and I started thinking, oh, so the thing I'm the most upset about, that's actually my opportunity to serve. So now I take out the trash. I do. I did it yesterday. After 3 weeks of just pushing it down. We just kind of push. The reason I bring that up is because the area that upset, like when you look at the world, the thing that upsets you the most is probably your opportunity to serve. Because if you're not burdened and bothered, it's probably not going to make a difference. But if you're burdened and you're bothered about something, you might want to lean into that. Let me give you a couple examples. When you look at the future, I've heard so many people go, our kids aren't going to have a great future. They're not with people with attitudes like that. What if our kids could have an amazing future? What What if you volunteered with our kids? I don't know how to teach children about Jesus. You don't have to. You just got to keep them alive for an hour. Let me say this. There's a reason there's an index card with your outline. I want you to listen. Everybody. You've been attending this church for a long time. And Jesus did not call us to sit on our blessed assurance. You are gifted. You are called. And if you're not serving, you're missing out. On this index card, name, email address, phone number, and put it in a basket when you walk out today. It's time. Listen, you've got 4 I Love My Church shirts and haven't served one day. Do you? It just got real, didn't it? I got people who won't even make eye contact with me right now. I know. I'm fine with that. And listen, it's not about we don't have enough volunteers. We got great volunteers. We get the job done. It's not about, listen, if you make it about them, you miss the point. It's about you. Because at the end of the day, here's the question. Here's the real question. Do you want to actually become more like Jesus? Do you want that for your life? Because if you do, then we got to lean into something that Jesus said. Jesus said this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So if Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve, and we want to become like him, stop making excuses and let's get this done today. If you have questions, you can stop by guest services both here and in Columbia. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. It's the end of the service. We got 4 more points. I know. I did it on purpose. It's the first time we've ever done this. You want the rest of that outline filled in? You gotta come back next week and I'll give you the rest. Yeah. You're clapping, but the type A people, you're like, okay, whatever. Be texting me that Saturday. Can you just please tell me the blanks? Next week. Y'all like how I set that up? You know why I did that? Because when I share that last point, everybody starts packing up. Nobody's paying attention. Everybody starts packing up and getting ready. The reason I preach this message today and the reason we're going to talk about what we talk about next week, I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. I want for you to become more like Jesus. And if you're sitting in this room, it's not too late. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how far you've fallen. This is a place where you can step by step get back up and know it will never be as good as it once was, but it can be better if we will just learn to follow this man named Jesus. Because 9 years ago today, I checked into rehab in Tucson, Arizona, and I thought my life was over, and I thought my life was through, and I thought my life was done because I was at rock bottom. But there's a man named Jesus who never gave up on me, and he pursued me even when I was in the desert alone. And that same Jesus that rescued me will rescue you. He will rescue us. He's got a plan for our lives. I don't know about you, but I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called to live for more. I'm not called to live in my shame, and neither are you. So what if today as a church we just stood and sang with all of our hearts, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We know that you've got a plan for our life. We know that you have a purpose, and we know that in you, Jesus, the best is yet to come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for today. I want to thank you. for every single person in this house in Columbia right now. God, I pray that every person would know they have so much value. Jesus, you gave your life for us. And if the value of something is determined by the price that somebody's willing to pay, and Jesus, you gave your life, God, that means we are priceless. Some don't feel that way. Some feel beat up, broke down, busted, disgusted with themselves, unqualified, disqualified. I pray, Jesus, that right now that you would just reach down in your grace and in your mercy and touch each heart and mind that needs to be touched and let them know, I still got a plan for your life. I still got a plan for your life. And it's better than anything you could imagine. Just give up your ways and submit to mine. Right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know what God spoke to your heart today, but just take a minute and speak back to his. If it's a commitment to read scripture or get involved or whatever that is. And maybe you're here today and you've never prayed to receive Christ. Listen, Peter accepted the invitation. And if you right now you feel like Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, that's an invitation for you. Not to get your life right, but today to say yes and follow him. And so if you're here today and you know you need to pray to receive Christ, I want to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you just to repeat this prayer out loud right where you stand. But you don't have to worry about feeling singled out because everybody in our Second Chance family, we're going to pray this prayer out loud with you so you'll know you're supported by every single person in this room. So if you need to pray to receive Christ, you pray this. The Second Chance family, let's let them know they're not by themselves. Just say, Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for my sins. And right now, Jesus, I declare you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed all over this room and in Columbia, if you just prayed that prayer before you leave, I would love the privilege and honor of saying a quick prayer with you and for you. So if you just pray that prayer with nobody looking around, would you do me a favor and just raise your hand straight up in the air? Just shoot it straight up in the air and leave it up because I want to make sure I see it. And keep them up, keep them up, keep them up here in Columbia. Just keep them up. Straight up in the air and keep them up. Straight up in the air, straight up in the air. Thank you, Jesus, today for salvation in this house. Thank you that you are saving lives and changing people. God, I pray as we walk out of this room that we wouldn't walk out of this room feeling like we just got a list of things we need to do so you'll love us more. But we would walk out of this room knowing we've got ways to follow you. And Jesus, thank you so much that you make our lives better. And Jesus, you make us better at life. We love you. We declare this in your name. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Are you glad you came to church today? I'll see y'all next week for part 2.